بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this week's edition of the program. It is our weekly connection where on a Thursday we go back to the basics. And we review more about our Islamic lifestyle, about our mission, our duty on earth as the vicegerents, and what it is that we can do to not only be learning about our deen, but to be implementing and living by the message of Islam. Coming up later on the program, we're going to be hearing from our guest, Sister Shahista Token. Sister Shahista is going to take us through the topic of giving advice and understanding the difference between giving advice and handing out judgment. We're also going to learn more about advice to others. So that's coming up in the next segment. But here today on the program, in our first segment, we are going to take some time out. And by that I mean taking some time out to reflect. Now, we are almost drawing to the end of a calendar year. That could be the end of a school year, it could be end of a work year, and there is time for reflection. So as we draw to the end of another year, naturally what happens is we do reflect. We reflect on what's been accomplished, what's been achieved. We also look at challenges and tests. Now, Islamically, there's no best time to engage in this type of exercise. And in fact, our ulama suggests that it's something we do on a daily basis, that we ensure we are doing our best, that we are making our ibadah, that we are reforming and purifying our hearts, and that we are attending to our responsibilities as if tomorrow is not promised, because it is not. None of us know if we are going to live to see tomorrow or not. So, as we come to the end of another work year, for many people, they're going to be in this week budgeting for the year ahead, planning and preparing if they have children at school and sorting out things like getting to buy uniforms, books and stationery once the new year holidays, the weekend, long weekend is over, and get back to work as well and to routine. So if we are doing some reflection, I want to share with you some guidelines that we could use at any time of the year. When it comes to our physical well-being, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human body as a finely tuned machine. And in order for us to benefit from this optimal performance and to express shukr for it, we must consciously take care of our physical bodies. If we do find ourselves sluggish or unable to concentrate, it's important that we reflect on our water intake, right? In Surah Al-Anbiya, we learn in Surah 21, Ayah 30, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we made water essential for every life. So some of us drink more water, some drink less. It also depends if we have caffeine drinks or not, because that can cause dehydration. But it's important that when we look after the amana of our bodies, that we ensure proper hydration. Another is that we examine our eating habits. When it comes to eating, we know that in the Quran, we are told to eat halalan tayyiban. Many of us only focus on the halal part, and we leave out the tayyiban part. Tayyiban, this is the wholesome part. This is where, you know, we're talking about eating in moderation or making healthy food choices, ensuring that we get the vitamins and nutrients and that our bodies need, ensuring that we have sufficient fiber in our bodies, that we reduce or we eliminate sugar and avoid junk foods. So that's really important. Other things that we can do for our bodies is to fast routinely. Are we fasting our qada fast? Have we made up all our qada fast for this last Ramadan? Because the next Ramadan is less than 100 days away. Do we exercise? Do we move our bodies regularly? It's so important because exercise adds to, you know, it boosts our energy. It is good for our overall health. It enhances our mood. It reduces stress. What about sleep? Do we honor our bodies with the amana of sleep? So many of us don't even get a decent night's sleep. And when we are sleep deprived, this can increase the risk of obesity and heart diseases and diabetes. Another thing that we need to do, and this will fall under social, but also under our physical well-being, is to strengthen our ties, salatul rahim, to strengthen the ties of the family. So as we prepare for another work year, another study year, another calendar year, let's reflect. Am I managing my time wisely? Right? And look at, where do I need to eliminate time wasters? Where are there time wasters that I need to eliminate from my life? So here we're talking about things like social media, use of the internet, just mindlessly scrolling, TV, entertainment. Where am I wasting my time? And then we want to watch our footprint. As the vicegerent on the earth, we must keep ourselves and our families accountable for the way we interact with everything that we encounter and for the footprints we leave behind. Are we wasting? Are we disposing of our garbage and recycling correctly? All of these are so important, because if we don't do so, we bring harm to ourselves and to the world. When it comes to emotional health is such an important part of our overall health. So let's be aware of our emotions and our reactions. Let's work on expressing our feelings in an appropriate way, instead of bottling up feelings like anger and frustration that can affect us and others. Let's learn how to express ourselves respectfully. Another is to manage our stress. We all have stress in some form or type, but what's important is that we learn to manage that stress. Exercise helps, deep breathing helps, spending time in nature helps as well. The other thing for us to do is to watch our tongue. The tongue is called the mirror of the heart. So we want to avoid things like backbiting, like cursing, like ridiculing or mocking people, lying or breaking promises. When it comes to the most important part of our well-being, it is our spiritual well-being. Ask yourself, do I start everything with Bismillah? Do I pray my salah awwal waqt? Right? Or do I delay and delay my salah until someone comes and says, pray your salah quickly because it's going to be the next adhan, right? Am I making my salah qada unnecessarily? You know, what about dua? Do I take time to connect to my creator through dua? And do I enhance my relationship with the Quran? These are all very important questions for you and I to ask ourselves and to reflect on. And as we prepare for a new academic and work year, let's ask ourselves, what are my goals in terms of preparing myself for seeking more knowledge? How am I preparing my heart to receive more knowledge and to apply what I've learned? There is such a beautiful, you know, it's amazing plethora of knowledge out there. So there's no lack of knowledge, whether it's physical classes, online classes, courses, one-on-one classes with teachers, group classes. There are so many opportunities for us, alhamdulillah. So it's not so much about the opportunities. Yes, they are there. And sometimes it can be so overwhelming having all these choices. What really is important is for us to reflect. From all of this knowledge that I am seeking, how much of this am I applying in my life? How much of this am I living by? How is the quality of my life, and especially spiritually, how has my life changed for the better? Have I grown closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And am I living my life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These are some very important questions for us to ask ourselves as we prepare for the new academic and work year. And so we can set our goals that are more in alignment with everything that pleases Allah. Most importantly, if you're setting goals because of the new academic or study or school year ahead, remember to factor in Ramadan, which comes in early the first or second day of April. So set that up. Make sure that you've got goals, short-term goals that you're working towards in January, February, and March to prepare yourself for Ramadan. Well, that's a bit about planning, preparing, and some reflections on our well-being, physical, emotional, and spiritual, as we prepare perhaps for a new plan for the next year. Join us after the break as we're connecting with our guest, and we're going to learn more about giving advice. Lots of fantastic discussion coming up after this break. Stay with us. Alhamdulillah, we're into our second segment of the program, the most important part, where we're going to be learning some groundbreaking and really some shifting perspectives on a topic that many of us talk about often, but today something very different coming up on it. And joining us on the program is Sister Shahista Token, transformative coach, educator, author, and global speaker. We're talking all about giving advice today, and you want to stay listening and get back to the podcast in mid-January when our podcasts are updated to learn more on this topic. Sister Shahista, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for having me, Sister Rihanna, and such a good topic today.
Jazakumullah to you, Ameen. It's a pleasure. So let's get straight into it. Help us to understand now, when we hear about giving advice and then we hear about handling our judgment, how do these two differ? Firstly, is there even a difference between them? And then what would that difference be between giving advice or handling what we call judgment?
So it's really important for us to break it down so that the rest of the program makes more sense to the listener. So when we talk about giving advice, we talk about someone being asked to offer their guidance or their recommendations with regard to possibly a prudent future action. But when we talk about passing judgment, it's often involuntarily happening, and it's an opinion of someone about something or someone else on a personal matter. So it's actually quite different in terms of the acceptance and the reception of this advice and judgment. Whereas advice is something we seek, judgment is often something that is passed. So both advice seekers and the givers of advice then must take care, because this whole interaction is a subtle but intricate art. And, you know, often it requires emotional intelligence, it requires self-awareness. Diplomacy is so important, and patience oftentimes, because people are really quick to pass judgment. So there's a very fine line between asking that advice and getting their judgment when being asked. And often, you know, the slowest people to reflect are the people who pass judgments, because they don't introspect. They rather, you know, cast a statement out there. And, you know, when I was talking about this topic to someone, I said, let me do some research. And in the Quran, repeatedly, it was mentioned to me that the readers of the Quran are asked to seek guidance from people of knowledge. And that's a very big thing here, because often when we need someone's opinion on something, it needs to be someone that we can guide, that can guide us in terms of wisdom, where the judgment can be any person's perspective.
Wow. As always, you've broken it up for us so easy to understand. And I'm glad that we have that solid foundation with you now. So taking up from there, what do you and I need to consider before we hand out advice to others? Because we're now in a holiday season, holiday period. There's lots of socializing. There may be family reunions, meeting family and friends. You know, so all of that happening, and that's great to meet up, that human connection we all need. But what should we be considering before we hand out advice to other people, friends or family?
So So you hit the nail on the head there when it in terms of our social interactions often make us, part and privy to conversations that are happening. And often our advised opinions are not asked for, but we tend to give it in terms of a conversation. We need to be very, very diplomatic and objective here in these social situations. Those who give advice effectively often wield a soft influence. So they may even shape important decisions while they're trying to empower others with their advice. So it's a big responsibility before we give that advice. We need to understand there's essential skills, and when we give the advice, it's for different forms in different situations. We need to have knowledge of these particular scenarios before we just blurt out what we think may be correct or helpful. And often we need to acknowledge that people that are seeking this advice may not be ready to hear it, may not be ready to implement it. And, when I think about coaching, it is not a platform where we are like psychologists and we are equipped to advise our clients. What we do is we simply flip the script. We give a perspective, a difference. And it's a very subtle way in which we do it, where the person comes to their own realization and takes their own advice, because now they've been given just options of what to choose from. And I think people need to learn that technique and that art of, putting it out there and allowing the person that is looking for their own, assistance to help themselves. One of the most brilliant things Islam has given us is istikhara namaz, which is, I think, is forgotten amongst our, generations now, because there's so many scholars and so many, learned people out there. But that istikhara is a form of dua that you are seeking the guidance and advice of your creator. So sometimes our doubt may be small and little, where our Creator himself will be able to give us that advice directly. And what better form of, direction and guidance than from our Creator? Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. That was so beautiful to hear. Yes, that's so true. I think in days gone by, in years before, you'd hear people talk about istikhara. But nowadays, in the time we're living in, people rely so much on their own selves, on what they think or what we think and perceive, I can do this. And yet there's a treasure of istikhara that we're not tapping into. I think I know I needed to hear that today.
Yeah, and I think our intelligence that challenges us from asking that guidance. It's often humbling yourself that's the most difficult thing for human beings to do. Because when you seek that dua and when you seek that guidance, you have to tell yourself, I actually don't know the answer to this. And I think with our generations now who are so constantly seeking their own knowledge, it's difficult for them to do so.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It just makes so much of sense. And I know we have a lot of parents listening in, teachers in this holiday period. And really, that is our opportunity for our own selves to practice the istikhara and then to advocate for our youth to make that a part of their lives, as it was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because there's nothing to be lost in making the istikhara, only that we gain. And one of the greatest treasures of the istikhara is the tawakkul that comes with it. Yeah. Sister Shaisa, if I'm on the receiving end, and it's this holiday period, for example, how would I then gracefully accept that advice? It's not always easy to do so. So any advice, how do we go about, being accepting of that advice that's given out?
I think the first and foremost, we need to understand that we are surrounded by different people, unique individuals with different personalities, different perspectives and opinions. So when we accept and we empathize with that fact that they may be different from us, that's when acceptance becomes a lot easier because of the difference between individuals. So seeing as it's as passive consumption of wisdom from someone else. And often advice is usually from a respected person. And we need to, you know, I would say tips to accept it would be, we need to understand we don't know everything. We don't have all those answers. The second would be to make sure we choose the right person that we are seeking the advice from, to sit in the right type of company. You know, this often it manifests into conflict if we are not choosing the people that we get along with or we want to associate with. The next tip would be to understand really what the issue or problem that we're seeking that advice from is, and clearly define it, because sometimes we just randomly, you know, converse, not understanding, hey, you know, this is a red flag. This could prompt some heavy opinions, you know. And then listen. Listen is a wonderful skill. We don't listen to reply, we listen to understand. And I often teach that to the children at youth development, because we're so quick to be defensive. We're so quick to be, you know, taking it personally. But we just need to listen and always thank that person for their opinion, their advice, because it's just the way they think. They were socially conditioned to grow up and you know, understand the world, which is different and unique from ours, which is wonderful.
I love that you mentioned about this, recognizing the, you know, everyone's conditioning is different, everyone's perspective is different. And as you mentioned this, you brought up the youth development. So again, the year coming to a close, many people preparing themselves or their families, setting goals for themselves, their schools, their institutes. Take us through a bit about your youth development or programs. How can people benefit from that next year? How can they stay in touch? How can they know where to sign up or how to contact you for private, corporate settings? What's the way forward? How do they benefit from you? Because I know every time we do an interview, I'm always learning so much from your refreshing perspectives, mashallah. So please, how can our listeners get in touch for your programs for 2020?
At the beginning of the year, I host many adult program vision boards. I host many youth development in the different age groups according to the needs for the year forward. And usually people WhatsApp me on my cell number or they contact me on social media at my handle, which is @shaistatoken. So my cell number is 072-565-1265. I have adverts that go out. People then are sent those. And alhamdulillah, you know, whoever it's meant to reach and whoever it's meant to attend, I feel like Allah has a plan for all of us. And, you know, just putting that first step forward is what we try to do.
Absolutely. First step is the most important. Fantastic. Listeners, you can contact our ladies' desk, our reception, or contact any of us, our producer, presenters, and we will share those details with you. Sister Shaista, as we're rounding up for the year, quite literally at the time this program airs, and we talk about legacies and looking forward to a new academic or work year, do you care to shed any light? Share with us your reflections going into a new academic or work year about your legacy.
I think for me, we need to constantly be in check with our humanness. And the one thing that I often share when we talk about legacies is a famous quote by Maya Angelou, and she says, people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people won't forget how you made them feel. And I think it's really important for us to remain kind and compassionate to whoever we're interacting with. And for me, just leaving them better than we found them. That's my legacy, I believe.
MashaAllah, and that is a profound legacy, alhamdulillah. We thank you so much, Jazakumullah Khair, for your time in this holiday period with us. We understand that you're traveling and you've given us this time, and we're so, so grateful. And we make dua that all of your aspirations, all of your projects, all of your initiatives that are there for 2022 are all fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm. and that people can take that first step, reach out to you and start making those transformative changes in their lives, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much, Sister Rihanna, and you take care as well and be safe in this period of time.
Barakallah feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
We've been speaking to Sister Shahista Token, a transformative coach, author, global speaker, and educator on the topic of giving advice. If you'd like to get in touch with our guest and benefit from her programs, drop us an email or contact our women's desk, and they will field your questions to us, and we'll share that with you, inshallah. We're going to go for an ad break, and when we return on the other side of this, we continue with our discussion. Stay with us. We are now into our last segment of this hour, and before the break, we spoke to Sister Shahista Token, a transformative coach, on the topic of giving advice. What it means to give advice, the difference between giving advice and handling judgment, how to give advice, and also how to receive that advice gracefully. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts plenty of muhabbah in our relations, in our family ties, in our connection. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all safe and well. Ameen. Now, on the program today, we're going to go a little further and talk more about honoring our neighbors. In many of our programs during the holiday season, we've spoken about family ties, we've spoken about that connection with our loved ones, our families, but neighbors form that special part of the human connection. And today we're going to look at honoring our neighbors according to the Quran and Sunnah. So as Muslims, we have a unique responsibility towards our neighbors. In fact, our neighbors have rights over us, and this is outlined in the Quran Kareem. In Surah Nisa, Surah 4, Ayah 36, we learn, worship Allah and associate nothing with Him, and to parents do good, and to relatives, orphans, the needy, the near neighbor, the neighbor farther away, the companion at your side, the traveler, and those whom your right hands possess. Indeed, Allah does not like those who are arrogant and boastful. So the Mufassir Ibn Kathir states about this ayah, ayah 36 of Surah Nisa, that the near neighbor may refer to a neighbor who is also a relative, and the neighbor that's further away is one who is a stranger. So although our busy lifestyle may hinder us from building strong relationships with our neighbors, we still need to strive to connect with them as our deen requires of us. One of the most recognizable slogans that we come across or we see is like a good neighbor, and then they'll put the company name there and say this company is there. And they use that to sell products, the concept of being a good neighbor. Right? So just recognizing that the neighbor, whether it's socially, whether it's materially, whether it's consumer-wise, in any way we think of it, the neighbor is so important. But in Islam, especially, especially important. So the question is, what does it take to be a good Muslim neighbor? Now, to answer this question, we must look at the life of the greatest neighbor to have ever lived. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, Ayah 21, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have an excellent example for whoever has hope in Allah and the last day and remembers Allah often. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here exhorts us to be good neighbors, and He has also provided the guidelines for success in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's look at some ways in which you and I can be exemplary neighbors, not just in this holiday period, but always. The first is to give greetings and smile. So one of the simplest ways we can treat our neighbors with kindness is by smiling at them and by greeting them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that a smile is an act of charity, as recorded in At-Tirmidhi. So greeting someone with a friendly, smiling face can brighten the day. It can make them feel at ease. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the hijrah, when he migrated to Medina Munawwara, he was welcomed there as a new neighbor. One of the leaders of Medina, a Jewish rabbi who converted to Islam, Abdullah ibn Salam narrated, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived for the first time in Medina, I went with everyone to see him. When I saw him, I knew his face was not that of a liar. The first words he said were, O people, feed the hungry, spread peace, maintain your kin relationships, and pray at night while others are asleep. With this, you shall enter heaven in peace. Al-Bukhari. So look at how beautiful, look at the words that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke when coming to Medina. The second thing we can do is to offer food. And nothing pleases people across all cultures more than delicious food. Right? So we know that in many cultures, when someone moves in as a neighbor, the way they welcome someone is by giving them some food, you know, and that's a sign and a gesture of friendship. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he does not have faith in me who spends the night satiated while he knows that the neighbor to his side is hungry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said these words and it taught us how to honor our neighbors. He also advised one of his companions radiallahu anhu majma'in that whenever he cooked a stew, to add water to the broth so as to make enough to give the neighbors. So the next time we're cooking something, especially a braai, a barbecue, where the scent of the food whiffs all over the neighborhood and reaches our neighbors next door, it may stir their appetite. Let's remember to send them a plate to enjoy as well. The third thing that we can do to honor our neighbors is to visit and check up on them when they are ill. A good neighbor notices if there is something wrong next door, if there's damage to the property, if someone is sick, or if there's some other emergency or need. Checking up on one's neighbor without being nosy, or even visiting them or dropping off groceries when they are ill, are all actions a Muslim can take to strengthen the relationship. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Jewish neighbor's son, who used to serve him, fell ill. So he visited him. And that youth embraced Islam following this action. We read of this in Al-Bukhari. But also in Al-Bukhari, we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, anybody who believes in Allah and the last day should serve his neighbor generously. If there are elderly people living next door, it is good of us to check up on them often or offer to help them with placing their garbage bags out for collections or mowing their lawn, getting your kids to help you help them, whether it's, you know, sweeping or mopping up on their front lawn or their front entrance, you know, checking in that you're going to the store. Do they need anything that you could pick up on the way for them? The next way in which you and I can honor our neighbors is in giving gifts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised Muslims to give gifts because gift giving has a positive effect on people and it can help build and, when necessary, mend relationships. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, give each other gifts and you will love each other. Al-adab al-mufrad. So stopping by a neighbor's house, delivering a gift, or leaving something in their mailbox or in front of their doorstep can really leave a lasting impression. Now, if we don't have the means to buy a gift or we have too many neighbors to cover, we can offer something simple or focus on one neighbor at a time. One day, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wanted to give a gift to one of her two neighbors, but she was not sure who to give it to. So she asked his advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, to give to the one whose door is nearer to you. And so the holidays and the holiday period are a great time for us to be generous, to educate our neighbors, and even when it's our Eid celebrations, to share with them with little written notes of why we have fasted, or why we are celebrating the day of Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. The next step in which we can honor our neighbors is by not disturbing or harming them. So everything else I've shared with you today has been all about recommendations of being a good neighbor, like giving gifts or visiting them, checking up on your neighbor when they're ill, offering food to them, smiling at them, and greeting them when you see them. But we're now going to focus on another aspect, and this is what we should be mindful of, not to overdo it or to disturb them. Because being a good neighbor is emphasized as an act of righteousness, the opposite is true for being a bad neighbor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said sternly, "By Allah, he does not believe. By Allah, he does not believe. By Allah, he does not believe." To which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, "Who is that, O Allah's messenger?" And he replied, "That person whose neighbor does not feel safe from his evil." Al-Bukhari. So for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have equated disbelief with evil towards one's neighbor lets us know the seriousness of this matter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, "Anybody who believes in Allah and the last day should not harm his neighbor." And this harm includes anything physical, emotional, or even spiritual. Things that can cause physical harm to one's neighbor is a loud party or gathering, offensive smells, damaging their property or possessions, or leaving the rubbish, the garbage uncovered outside. Emotional harm can be inflicted by being rude or meddlesome, being disrespectful or abusive. As far as spiritual harm is concerned, this can occur when we misrepresent Islam by being a bad neighbor. And so we cause them to reject or even hate our deen based on our misdeeds. So I mentioned here some of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's many teachings about neighbors. There are so many ahadith that talk about treating our neighbors with kindness, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood the magnitude of its importance. In one narration in Al-Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "Jibreel," meaning the angel Jibreel, "continued to recommend to me treating neighbors kindly and politely, so much so that I thought he would order me to make them my heirs," meaning that I would be, have the neighbors being inheriting from me. And who inherits from us? Who are our heirs? Our family, our blood family. So if that is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought, that Angel Jibreel is recommending me to treat my neighbors kindly and politely to such an extent that he thought he would be ordered to make them his heirs, that they would be inheriting from us. Subhanallah. So that just, if we take a moment to just reflect on that, that reminds us just how important it is for us to take care of our neighbors, to treat them kindly, and to be polite to our neighbors. While they may not have been raised to the level of heirs, our neighbors certainly deserve that we treat them with caring and with friendliness, and that hopefully this uplifts them, and that it demonstrates our iman, and it strengthens our community, And inshallah, we are in this way the flag bearers of our deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are the true flag bearers of our deen. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Because really, when we look at it, we have these amazing opportunities to be able to invite others to Islam, to make subtle da'wah through our actions. But how many of us take advantage of that? How many of us maximize on that? Very, very few of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to do so. Ameen. As we prepare to close off today's program, some beautiful reminders. Many of us read lots of dhikr with our tongues, but we find that it has little effect on our hearts. Imam Al-Ghazali offered this advice where he said, the regular remembrance of Allah, dhikrullah, of the tongue, lisan, acts as a chisel knocking away the hard crust present on the surface of the heart, the qalb, until one day the dhikr penetrates the heart and changes one's life forever. So don't give up. Be consistent, be persistent, and do it repetitively, because one of the key aspects of our deen is takrar, is repetitiveness. And this is one of the secrets behind reading the Quran over and over again. You know, very often we hear people say, but I am reading, I am making so much of dhikr, but my heart hasn't softened or my ways have not changed. And so that we remind ourselves that while it may seem like that, while it may appear that our lives haven't changed, remember to keep on at it, to continue, not to give up. Because that is the trap of shaitan. That shaitan wants us to feel despair or hopelessness and wants us to stop. Whereas if we are to continue with that dhikr, if we continue with remembrance of Allah, with tilawatul Qur'an, that will chisel away at the crust in our hearts. And one day it will penetrate and reach our hearts. And that is when we will have those changes we are seeking. So let's not give up. And let's make time. Let's prioritize time this holiday period when we have more relaxed schedules to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make dhikr, to invite our young ones to join us in remembering Allah. Whether it is through, you know, outings in nature that we are reminded of Allah's greatness and His power, or whether it's visiting a zoo or an animal refuge center where we see animals, see the creation of Allah, or a beautiful garden, botanical garden, where we see these delicate, colorful creation, the flowers that Allah has made, whether it's out in nature, whether it is for those who are blessed to go on Umrah, whether it is just observing and watching our growing children or grandchildren, whether it's noticing the signs and, you know, the cycle of life as we move through it, all glory and all praise belongs to Allah. So let's make time to remember Allah. For those of us that are in the summer months, we have long days, and we can use that lengthy time after Asr, where there's still much of the day to go, we can use that in our evening dhikr and strengthen and solidify that evening adhkar routine. And for those of us in the winter season, winter months, we can also use the season of winter to our advantage. Our days end earlier. And so the night comes earlier, darkness sets in earlier, and with that, there's more stillness and quiet. And we can use that time in the evenings to praise Allah, to remember Him, and to glorify Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those servants of His who are doing righteous deeds, who are praising Allah, remembering Allah, and glorifying Him at all times. May we live to be that example for that next generation. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. That brings us to the close of this week's edition. Do join us next week as we continue reviving our iman. We're joined by another guest, and we focus on how to revive our iman. And so then, keep all of us at Radio Islam in your dua. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.